Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Can the Chiefs pick up 4th and 16 from their own 35? The Bengals have seven guys back at the first down marker. Mahomes stepping up, trying to buy time, moving to his left, scramble drill, pass off his back foot, incomplete, and it will be a flag thrown on the play! Hit in the back before the ball arrived was Rashi Rice. Dejon Anthony, a rookie out of Ole Miss, was in as a dime back. It's a 29-yard defensive pass interference penalty on a rookie DB and in the dime package. Matt Ariza will be the holder. The ball is in the center of the field. James Winchester will snap it. The Chiefs are down 25-23 at 3 seconds to go in the game. It's the Bengals and the Chiefs. Why would you think it would be anything different than this? A 51-yarder officially to try to win it by Butker. 25-23 Cincinnati. Placement is down. Butker's kick. Leg through. It is high enough, and it is good! Kansas City! Harrison Butker, another clutch kick against the Bengals. And the Chiefs win it at the buzzer. 26-25. And the Chiefs go to 2-0 on the year.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Welcome in Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you on a big Monday. The Chiefs survive again. I say survive. The Chiefs win again. That's not fair. Now wins over Baltimore and Cincinnati. If it was a toenail against the Ravens, it's, I don't know, maybe more of a, it's a toenail again. It's a toenail again. They are barely, so. But hey, it's two big wins.
It was Harrison Butker's toenail, to be honest.
Yeah, every bit of it. There's so much to get to from that game, and we will, including some breaking news here off the top. What a big show we have for you today. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing. So we have that. We have KU in complete disarray, just absolute disaster in Lawrence to start this football season. K-State is catching a groove. We're going to have the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in with us next segment to go through K-State's game. We'll have plenty on KU, and of course now plenty on the Chiefs, the Royals, also with a series win over the weekend that we need to get to as well. It is a jam-packed show. The IHOP hotline is ready for you, and that is at 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. And we appreciate their support of the show. We'll give away some HTO a little bit later in the show as well. All kinds of fun stuff for you. We'll get you ready for Monday Night Football a little bit later. But Tommy, we start with the Chiefs, as we typically do on a Monday. And as there are 1,000 different things to get into in that game, the breaking news just before we come out onto the air here is that, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be out for a while. And we were texting back and forth all the different things yesterday that we were taking away from the game to sort of, you know, give an idea of where we would go today. And I think I said at one point, like, all of this, the Isaiah Pacheco injury potentially worries me more than any of it. Worries me more than the bad play at left tackle. Worries me more than, you know, what's lacking on defense. Worries me more than the Hollywood Brown news. All of it. Isaiah Pacheco concerns me the most. And here we go. It's worse than I thought. There was a sliver of hope last night as you saw him back on the sideline celebrating and those things. But it sounds like he's going to IR. I don't know how much time you miss on a tibia. We'll get that. That'll trickle out today, but it's going to be a while. And you combine that with Hollywood Brown and the fact that we're going into week three and this offense we were all really, 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 really excited about becomes more and more, you know, I guess we could say flawed, although it's too early to say that definitively, but at least on paper than it would have been. And we're not even a quarter of the way through the season yet.
Yeah, I think fragile is a good word used to describe the way that things are looking, at least offensively for Kansas City moving forward. I'm not sure that there's a team in the NFL that is 2-0 right now that we feel probably as, concerned about than the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know it's because we're close to the organization, you know, more so than any other team. But yeah, this is a major blow. Isaiah Pacheco was the workhorse yesterday. He, you know, definitely was the feature guy. And I would argue the feature guy really with any skill position that the Chiefs had offensively, probably more so than even Rashee Rice. And I know Rice was, you know, pretty involved in the game yesterday. So this is a major blow with the fibula fracture that Pacheco suffered. And, you know, going on the IR means that he has to miss a minimum of four games, but yeah, I think conventional wisdom would tell us all that it's going to be more than that. I'm not sure exactly how long a fibula recovery is. I've seen speculation anywhere from 8 weeks to 10 weeks or something like that. And so then you look at the depth chart, and I know they like Carson Steele a lot, and I like Carson Steele too, but he's a rookie. He's an undrafted rookie. He put the ball on the turf yesterday. So that's one thing. They've got Samaje Perine. Of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on IR himself, or at least on the non-football list, injury list right now, the non-injury list. And so I don't think you can ride with that depth chart right now. I think that Brett Veach has got to be working the phones and figuring out what they can do, because, you know, you've definitely got a depleted depth chart basically with your skill position players right now.
The good news is it's the most attainable position in football. That's the good news. Isaiah Pacheco, though, it had become clear, if not in week one, in this game yesterday, they want to be a lot like they were last year. And that it surprises me a little bit, but it doesn't, because they lost Hollywood Brown, and probably because the defense has been a little better, at least bend don't break, not anywhere near what it was last year, but maybe a little bit better than I thought. They have some flaws that we can get into later in the show. But as you look at that position, you can replace that position. They may not need to replace much. They could always go find somebody and roll with, you know, the combination of Steele and Perine is sort of what Pacheco is, right? A thumper that is good in the pass game. And so I'm not as concerned about what they can do in any individual game plan necessarily, but I also don't think they're going to line up and hand the ball to Carson Steele 20 times in a game, at least not initially. And I don't think they would do that with anybody, by the way. Like, it's not just a Carson Steele thing. Carson Steele, we all like Carson Steele. This is why he's on the roster, right? The likelihood of a Pacheco injury, not a Pacheco injury to this severity, of course, you know, you little nicks and things like that. This is a significant injury. And here's the other thing. They get through these first two games, and they are, you know, as tough on the schedule as you're going to get. Between the Bengals and the Ravens. By the way, the Bengals are not a bad team. They're back. They looked good yesterday. They look fine. But you got the Falcons. You go to LA to take on the Chargers. You get all of a sudden the upstart Saints. Then you go to San Francisco to play the 49ers. Okay. And then you get a game against the Raiders. Take what you will from that. But then you get another one against Tampa. So that's all the way out to week nine. There is one game right now, and we'll see what Atlanta does tonight. There's one game on that schedule against a team that we didn't go into the season feeling like was a serious playoff contender, and that's the Raiders. And they're not bad, by the way. They're not. Look at what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's like the schedule will not let up at this point of the season. If there is any schedule relief for the Chiefs, and there's very little this season in general, it comes maybe a little later in the year, but it doesn't really come at all. So there's no time to breathe. And so when we look at the Chiefs in totality, we have to look at this. And the Pacheco injury worried me the most, not because they can't sustain that injury, because I think that they can, but it's because when we look at everything, they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball this year, right? They're not as explosive in the pass game yet, and maybe won't be without Hollywood Brown. They can't get left tackle to give Mahomes what he needs to become a high-octane passing game. That's another problem there. And so now you look at this, you're like, okay, well, can they still do what we saw them clearly want to do in that game? Time will tell. We need a little time to see. I don't know the answer to that question. We're going into week three, and Juju's been a non-factor in the passing game. So
Travis Kelce has been a non-factor in the passing game through 2 weeks.
That will change for sure. I think the biggest, like if you're a fantasy football player, the biggest beneficiary statistically to the Pacheco injury is probably Travis Kelce. They're taking it slow with Kelce, and I don't disagree with that, but they may not have a choice now. Aaron asks us on Facebook, who do we think benefits the most? And again, this would be like from a fantasy perspective. With Pacheco out, Clyde, P. Ryan, or Steele. It's Steele, I think. I don't think they're going to line Samaje P. Ryan up and hand him the ball 15 times a game. That will be Steele. Now, P. Ryan will be more involved in the pass game than he would if Pacheco was there, because Pacheco is really good in the pass game. I don't know if Carson Steele's good in the pass game. I have no idea. We haven't seen that from him. I doubt it. I don't think they're going to try that. That's why they have P. Ryan on the team. But that, again, that limits the, you know, that limits the offense in that way, too. Like, you can't. Now our team's not afraid of a pass on first and second down if Steele's out there, but it's a big loss. But I think it'll be okay as long as he's back this season. Like as long as he's back and back to normal before the end of the year, the Chiefs are going to be okay. They just beat the Ravens and the Bengals, right? So all of the, and it has not gone swimmingly so far for the Chiefs at all. And they just beat the Ravens and the Bengals. Like the Chiefs are very good. You know, I watch the NFL yesterday and try to guess at what's going to happen from week to week. And all that is teams as the 49ers go and lose to Minnesota, as, you know, Baltimore struggles with the Raiders. I mean, you go up and down and up and down. The Chiefs are 2-0 against two Super Bowl contenders. So keep that in mind, too. Like, they just have to reinvent it again. And it's almost like you just are, you saw it in the Bengals game, Tommy. Like, they reinvented there. They're going to run the ball. They're going to look a lot like they were last year. And then Pacheco goes down. So now for a third time in 3 weeks, they almost have to try again. And I don't know what that looks like yet. It will be interesting to see it. But I mean, it's a guess right now what that looks like.
Well, I do think that it puts the impetus back on the passing game, and that's going to be easier said than done. Going back to Aaron's question about who we think benefits the most with Pacheco out, I mean, I don't think it's Clyde. I'm not anticipating that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to really be a factor whatsoever this year for the Chiefs. I think Samaje Perine, they signed him with the intent to be kind of a change of pace type guy, not a workhorse. So probably Carson Steele, but I think probably more than any of those three will be somebody that we don't know yet. I think that they will. I think they have to go out and acquire a running back. And like you mentioned a few minutes ago, there are quite a few of them that are available. One guy that still remains unsigned, Jerick McKinnon, is out there. I'm sure that Brett Veach has probably already talked to him. And if you want to talk about pass catching out of the backfield, that's what he does. And so it wouldn't surprise me. Out of everybody else that is out there, out of all the veterans that are out there that they could possibly go and look at, and I know they have a couple of running backs on the practice squad, the easiest putt, I think, is for them to call a guy who is familiar with the offense and was on that team as recently as a season ago.
I think anything they do right now is strictly for depth. I think if they wanted McKinnon, they chose Perine over McKinnon anyway, so they've already made that decision, right? And I'd be fine with McKinnon coming in, don't get me wrong. But I think anything they do is depth. They kept Carson Steele for a reason. This is the reason, right? Get out there and go. And they brought Perine in over anybody else for a reason. Like, this is why they made those moves. And I know you're annoyed at what they didn't do behind left tackle, but this wouldn't be that situation, right? This is, they did make moves in this, you know, for this exact thing. That's why Carson Steele's on this team. He looks like Pacheco when he runs the ball. That's why they bring in P. Ryan, because they know they need a pass catcher. So, you know, in the short term, and Austin says on YouTube, he thinks they'll be fine without him. I think they'll be fine without him. I don't think they'll be as good without him. And I hope I'm wrong, because the Carson Steele story is a fun one. And if you don't think, like, if you think that's outrageous, Isaiah Pacheco was a 7th round pick and did the same thing and came in and all of a sudden was a great rookie. So it's not even like out of the realm of possibility. It's not even a reach to say Carson Steele will come in and be effective. That's why he's here. Rick on YouTube says McKinnon's a 3rd down back, but they may need a 3rd down back, Rick, or at least another back to give him another weapon. McKinnon can do more than just be a running back too. They can line him up outside. They could do a lot of things. They'll do something. They need to. I don't know what it will be. I don't think it will be McKinnon, but it could be. That would make sense. But that's all there. Okay, so we got that breaking news off the top here with the Chiefs. We will get into everything else we saw in the Chiefs game against the Bengals. So that's coming up later in the show. We're going to get to KU, where the sky is very clearly falling. We'll have that later in the show. It was a good weekend for K-State, a really good weekend. Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats, joins us next for his weekly visit. We'll look back at the game at Arizona, against Arizona, I should say, and we'll look forward to this week a little bit as well. Wyatt Thompson joins us next. We appreciate you being a part of the program. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here at KFH with a great cup of coffee. Glad to be here. Wild and crazy Monday. Buckle up. You can always go back and listen to anything you missed on the Odyssey app. We're coming right back. All Brockton Castor on Sports Day.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Castor here with you. Glad to be here. NFL football is available for free here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH tonight at 6:30 after the Chris Lamb Show for Monday Night Football, Falcons, Eagles. You can download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. We are talking K-State now as we welcome in the voice of the K-State Wildcats. Big win over Arizona this past weekend. As K-State gets it done, this was the big test. This was perhaps the biggest game of the weekend, and K-State sits here right where they want to be after a handful of games. And I think, Wyatt, as we bring in here, we could easily say that was the best performance of the year for K-State, and that's what you want to see, right? 3 weeks in, and your best game comes in your last game.
Absolutely. Good to be on with you guys again. I think that's really probably what stands out the most. There are a lot of things, but you sit there at 3-0, and I think you have seen improvement from week to week so far. You look at offense, I think we've seen that. Defense, we've probably, for the most part, seen that. Certainly special teams after the other night with Dylan's punt return and some of the other things that happened. Couple of back-to-back physical games, you worry a little bit about, you know, where the team is. We've got some bumps and bruises, but I think as late as we play Saturday night, maybe everybody will be healthy by then. Who knows?
Wyatt, from a crowd perspective, I know that, you know, people get juiced up and excited for any home game in Manhattan, but for me, I wasn't there, but watching it on TV, it sure seemed like the, you know, Bill Snyder Family Stadium was rocking on Friday night. When was the last time you saw a crowd like that?
Well, we've been pretty fortunate here, to be honest with you, bud. We've had, 16 straight sellouts, and I think you go back to opening night, and we talked, I think, the following Monday about, you know, just how juiced they were for that. But this was probably a little bit different level. We heard Coach Klieman say, you know, during his press conference that he thanked the fans and said it was as loud as he's ever heard it at what he calls the Bill. And many call it that now, of course. But they were really pumped up. I think they knew walking in it was Harley night. They knew they were facing a very, very fine offensive team after K-State struggled against a pass game the week before against Tulane. So there was a lot riding on this, and they were at I guess I'll call it a high level pitch. They were pretty juiced from the beginning, and I think it helped. You know, K-State was not perfect in the first half, and even I'm sure challenged again at halftime, much like Tulane. Different, but like that. And I thought they really responded in the second half with a great performance. The way the first half ended, it was kind of a downer, honestly. But man, what a way to get around it in the second half. I thought that was a superb performance.
Let's, and it all starts and, you know, and ends right now anyway. And this is just us being silly because there's far more to it, but Avery Johnson's where we're all focused at the moment. Second half, especially, he looked his best. You know, he ran it 17 times in the game. I don't know that if K-State was being honest with you, they'd like to say they want to see him run it 17 times, but yeah, that's sort of what the game required at that point. And it's something we hadn't seen yet. And then we saw him become more comfortable as a passer. I think they go hand in hand. I think when he's able to slide around like that and take off, it makes him a better passer. And I think we did see that in the second half. And then all of a sudden, they put up 31 points. How much of that do you think continues? Again, I don't think they want to see him run it 17 times, but it's nice to know it's there if a game requires it.
I think that's exactly right. And I think you have to go back to it when you need that. And I think there were times the other night that that's exactly what was needed. I think they being Arizona, did a pretty darn good job for the most part against Giddens. They didn't really let him have a bunch of bigger runs. They know he's a workhorse. And obviously they were concerned about, you know, Avery. But I'm like you, I thought he probably played, I don't think I'm overstating this. Tell me what you guys think. But I think it was his most free and easy game of his career here so far. And yes, it's just, what, 10 or 11 games in. But he was letting it rip, both in the run game and the throw game. And I think everybody enjoyed it a lot. He's just an electric talent. You know what? I got to say this, too. One of the things that I was so impressed with when we talked to him in the radio postgame, the end of the first half, he wore it. If you heard that, he said, and I think he said it in to the media after the game, too, that Coach Kleiman tried to take the blame for it, but that's on me. And I think that proves to you that, you know, how much he puts into this, he cares, and he's going to take his share when the blame's to be passed around, too.
You know, Wyatt, coming off of the Tulane game, I think one of the biggest concerns, I guess, or one of the biggest talking points was the secondary and what the Wildcats defense would be able to do to slow down Arizona's passing game. And I think they did a pretty good job at that. And it really wasn't the secondary necessarily, but it was the Kansas State defense putting all kinds of pressure on Arizona's quarterback. That really seemed to be the recipe for success defensively on Friday night.
I think that's absolutely on task too, because I think all three levels played really pretty well. I think when you look at, you know, K-State's defense, they are continuing to play a lot of guys. And as those guys get more experience, and I don't just mean, you know, some of those kids that we've talked about getting first-time reps, like a Ryan Davis comes to mind as an example, but it's also, you know, guys that have had a little bit of experience, like a Chidi Obiizor and like a Austin Romaine, and some of, I thought Austin played a terrific, terrific game, to be real blunt about it. I like their personnel. I like their depth. And I just felt like they won the game at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think Coach Kleiman chuckled when he said this too, but you look at Teteroa McMillan's numbers, and it was like a quiet 11 catches and 140 yards. And I think that's accurate, don't you?
I mean, I there aren't very many teams that are going to slow him down this year. No. That's a dude that's playing on Sundays. That was just, I mean this without any ill will to the K-State defenders, but that's a men among boys in college football. Like he was outstanding, and there aren't many teams that are going to be able to defend some of the things he was able to do in that game. But I thought it was good, Wyatt, to see them, you know, that was happening. And then you look up and Arizona scored 7 points.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Fine. Like have yours. Right. But at the end of the day, like it didn't impact them as a whole. And I think when we watched the Tulane game, they looked just lost. They did not look lost in the game on Friday, like they did 6 days before that. They looked very much more comfortable. And I guess time will tell how good the Arizona offense stacks up in the league. But I think we think that's going to be a good offense. So certainly it's good to see them play that way defensively.
Yeah, you said a lot there. And I think I would try to augment that by saying, if you go back to the Tulane game, and I think I mentioned this last week, one of the issues that K-State had in the game was they allowed them to establish the run early. That was not the case here. Yep. I mean, they never really got anything going. And just kind of crunching some numbers, K-State's done a really, really good job so far against the run for the most part. And when you can make a team, you know, pretty much one-dimensional, which is what I thought they did, it just puts so much more pressure on those guys to perform. Now, give Tetraoa McMillan, a couple of the plays he made are just crazy, guys. I'll tell you what I thought he was. I thought he was a 6'5" Jeremy Maclin kind of guy.
I mean,
he's big. He's big. I think he could be a top 10, top 15 kind of pick. He's that kind of talent.
I don't disagree with that. I thought he was great. Wyatt, let's look ahead to BYU. So BYU comes in. They're also 3-0. Southern Illinois, SMU, Wyoming, two of those are road games. Don't know what to make of it, but they're coming back home. It's a late night game. This is certainly one that I don't think you look forward to this one if you're K-State by any means, going to that place in a late night environment like that against a team who's usually good. I mean, I don't know how good, but they'll be good.
Yeah. They're certainly better than they were a year ago, I think, in most areas. I've watched their game against SMU. I watched their game the other night in Laramie. Didn't see as much of SIU in their opener, but I'll study that more as the week progresses here. But I think what we know that they are is a very big and physical football team. I don't know that necessarily they are going to match up with a lot of teams in this league yet, necessarily with speed, aside from their receivers. They've got some wideouts that can run a little bit. Cody Epps was a freshman All-American back in 2022 as an example, and he can scoot. But they are really big at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And I think they're better probably I think I said this, maybe not with you guys, but in a couple of other interviews, that I don't know that they got the respect or the run that they should have gotten with that win at SMU. That wasn't easy, and it wasn't necessarily pretty, but they got it done. If they run the ball, they can become pretty dangerous, I think. Retzloff's been okay. He's a little bit turnover prone, and they won that game and scored 34 the other night with their top two running backs out. But they, like K-State, they play a lot of guys, but K-State's got to handle the physicality, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm like you, you know, late night game, 9:30 at night, our time, in that environment, it will be difficult. Even if K-State plays great, I think you're going to have to take the fight out of them early, or at least try to.
Well, you know, Wyatt, from what I've been able to tell, just from the little bit I've watched BYU, I think the word that comes to mind is stingy. I mean, that's just kind of what they are there. And it might be different, probably will be different to an extent once, you know, obviously they'll be getting into conference play when the level of competition changes slightly. But they've given up defensively no more than 15 points. Yeah. In all the three games they've played so far this season, you know, and especially that game against SMU, as you mentioned, I think knowing that makes it that much more important that we saw what we did from the offense from K-State against Arizona, not only with Avery, but seeing DJ Giddens have another really solid game, having Dylan Edwards, not only with the punt return, but he was effective running the football. Jace Brown had a long reception in the game. Also, to me, it's incredibly fascinating, going to be fascinating to see the way that, you know, this offense for Kansas State looks to be unlocked, taking on what could probably end up being a pretty stingy BYU defense.
Yeah, a couple of guys that I'd have you maybe watch for in this game. Tyler Batty up front, defensive end, is just an animal. I mean, 6'5 and 275, that's big even for the Big 12. And then their rover, Jack Kelly's also 6'2 and 240 and just is everywhere. I can't stress this enough with their toughness and physicality. That kind of mirrors what Kalani Sitake, their head coach, is all about. Are they good enough in some of the other areas? I think we'll find that out. But in a lot of ways, I'm right there with you that, you know, this is about K-State and continuing to take steps. I think they're excited about where they're at, and they realize that there's improvement to be made. Let's see if they can take it out onto the road again and be better than they were in Tulane and maybe more consistent. We talked the other night about, you know, getting off to a good start offensively. Well, this kind of went untalked about after the game, but after what Arizona did on that opening drive for K-State to go for it on fourth down early and then match that with a long drive of their own, that was a win-win-win, fellas. That was big time.
And do you just keep him up late this week, Wyatt? Like, are you like, you gotta, like, you're gonna play that game at what is it, 9:30 kick time? Like, that's
And it was funny last week at the press conference, right after that game time had been announced, when Coach Kleiman came in, he leaned over to me and he goes, "I'm glad we're not taping the TV show at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning when we get back anymore."
Golly,
and I kind of get it, you know. We are literally going to get back somewhere probably around 5 or 5:30 or 6 o'clock. It's just it is what it is, and with that time zone and you know those four corner schools in, we're gonna have some of those. That's just the reality of it. And this will be the first test of it, I guess.
I love it. They got the national spotlight last week. They're going to get it again. I mean, everybody's staying up late. You know, you're sitting around watching. It's another chance for them to get into that. One last thing, Wyatt, we haven't talked about it. Dylan Edwards, everybody called for more touch. He got it. He got it. And I know he had the punt return, but even more than that, he was certainly more of a factor in the offense. And I think something we will absolutely continue to see.
I have to say this because I've said it about Avery. I'm going to say it about Dylan, too. I've been so impressed with the way he has handled this stuff. He gets a lot of attention, but he's a humble young guy. He works really, really hard at his craft. I think he even talked about that, you know, in the post game about how many, you know, punts he and Sterling field every day in practice. He just brings a different, I'll call it sizzle to the steak, right? I mean, he's just elite in a lot of ways. It was great to see him break out some. And I don't know if you guys remember the one run where he busted about three tackles too. And that, to me, that said a lot about his want to and just desire to be a really, really fine player. He and Avery are a lot alike in a lot of ways. And I think in specifically in that case, he plays hard and he's tough. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And he, all of a sudden you blink and he's in the open field and exactly. You're toast if you're the defense. All right, Wyatt, so it's a 9:30 kick. How does that work for you guys on the broadcast Saturday
well,
night?
Well, odd time, of course. We go 2 hours out. We'll start at 7:30. We'll feature, of course, like what always with Coach Kleiman and the coordinators and probably a couple of players and a look at a busy day in the Big 12. This will be a entertaining week in the league when you think about Utah and Oklahoma State and Stillwater and, you know, some of those kind of games. So I think we'll have I know there'll be a lot of games on, people will be watching, but kind of have us on in the background and stay with us as long as you can. Hope everybody can hang in there. Hey, it's K-Staters. They're probably going to be okay with that.
They'll be up just fine. All right.
Up in time to watch the Chiefs, right?
That's right.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. It's we're going to be in good shape. It'll be a late night of football, but hey, we'll get to watch it. There's nothing to distract you from it.
Exactly,
Wyatt,
right.
Travel safe. May still be a little groggy when we talk to you next Monday, but that's all right. We'll get there.
Oh yeah. It's not like I'm digging ditches, brother. I love
there
it.
There you go.
Let's do it.
Love it. There's Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. I tell people all the time, I could be digging ditches, I guess. You know, whenever I want to. I love that. All right. So there's that. If you missed any of that with Wyatt Thompson, you got to be cloud nining it right now if you're a K-State fan. They looked really, really, really good on Friday against a really good team. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. You can chime in on that. So we'll come back and we will get back to the Chiefs. KU fans, top of next hour. We want to make sure we have plenty of time to dig in on KU. So we'll come back. We hit on Isaiah Pacheco. What about what we saw in the game other than that in the Chiefs win against the Bengals? They get one from Burrow, and it was almost another, you know, sticky note on the Burrowhead poster board, but it didn't, and they get the win. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Want to tell you a little bit about Pepin Suter Remodeling. Now, as part of the program, Pepin Suter Remodeling Pepin and his crew did our remodel, our kitchen remodel. They're now proud supporters of the program, which we couldn't be happier about. I said this a little bit last week. It was, I think, Tommy, the thing that I appreciated the most was the care for our home that they took. I appreciated that their bid came in significantly lower than their peers. I appreciate the work that I had seen them done and you know, in the good references we had on them. But more than anything, I appreciate the care they took for our family to let us continue to try to live through a kitchen remodel. They put fake countertops in for us. They moved our refrigerator into the living room for us. They cleaned up at the end of every day. And if you've ever been through something like that, that does not always happen. And they did a fantastic job. And have followed up and made sure everything was okay. We love it. We're so happy with it. And we got a great deal. If you would like to get in touch with Pepin Suter, he does remodeling, kitchens, bathrooms, all of those things. You can go to the website. That's PEPINSUTER, Pepin Suter. Or you can give him a call. That number, 316-573-6822. 316-573-6822. Pepin Suter Remodeling. Glad to have him as supporters of the program. And thankful they did a great job on our kitchen, as we are now through that and ready to rock and roll with it. All right, Tommy. So we touched on the Chiefs. And KU fans, not to worry. It is front of mind what's been going on there in KU. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. We're saving that for the top of the hour. Let's go back to the Chiefs briefly, because we really kind of exclusively went to Pacheco. I think, Tommy, all things considered, you've beaten the Ravens, you've beaten the Bengals. Bengals looked good, much better than they did in week one. You feel good about that. But there are concerns, I think, long-term. Kingsley Suamataia was flat dominated in that game. Wanya Morris, who caught a touchdown, needs to start the next game. They need to see what they've got in Wanya Morris. That doesn't mean they're, you know, giving up on Kingsley Suamataia. It means he's not ready yet. And let's see what Morris has in the tank. I like Wanya Morris. Always have. I want to see what I thought he would win the job anyway. So let's see what he's got there. And the tight end defense is a problem. Now, the Bengals don't throw to tight ends. The Bengals have never thrown to tight ends. And they made it look like they'd been doing it for years and years and years. They have to fix that too.
Yeah, I saw somebody on social media mention that, you know, right now the Chiefs defensively are making every quarterback look like Lamar Jackson and every tight end look like Rob Gronkowski. And so that, I mean, that's a little bit of it. I mean, Joe Burrow is typically not a guy that is going to be super mobile, you know, but he was a little bit more mobile, I think, than typically you would like to see him be. And then same thing with, you know, all three of the tight ends that the Bengals put out there. I mean, credit to Zach Taylor. At one point, I'm sure that he thought, hey, if the Chiefs are going to not be able to defend our tight ends, then let's double down on that, or let's triple down on that. And that's exactly what they did. Going back to the offensive line, specifically left tackle. Yeah, Kingsley Suamataia looked like a rookie yesterday. He absolutely did. He was, like you mentioned, and I agree with you, flat out dominated by Trey Hendrickson. I think some of it, though, is that I think that's got to fall on the coaching staff, specifically Andy Reid, because they never helped him out.
Got him out of
you know, like that. It wasn't just, I mean, eventually they pulled him out, but they never chipped. Like, you got to put another person out there to help him if you're going to keep him in the game. And that never happened. And but so
here's the problem with that moving forward, though, back to the Pacheco injury. If Kelsey's going to be needed more in the passing game, that potentially takes away that help.
I get it. But when you're seeing it constantly over and over, and it's clear as day, it was like everybody watching that game knew that Suamataia was not able to handle Trey Hendrickson. And the Chiefs, you know, offensively, at least from a coaching perspective, didn't do anything to help him until it was a point to where he got beat one at one point, and then he had a huge holding penalty or hands to the face or whatever it was that had the call, you know, come back on that long pass and catch to Travis Kelce, and then they pulled him out of the game. So look, like I was critical of the Chiefs' inactiveness addressing left tackle in the offseason outside of the draft. And you know, at this point, I still think you need to see, like you mentioned, what they have in Wanya Morris moving forward. But let's just say that he goes in the next game and it's not much better. at that point, what do you do? The Chiefs were really, they kind of sat on their hands when it came to trying to find a way to upgrade at that position.
Yeah, and we didn't totally agree on that because I do think the draft capital they spent is a significant investment. You know, I think at the time they thought
long-term investment.
Right. At the time they thought they were going to have Niang as well. That hasn't happened. So, like, I think there are, I'll give you, they've still got options. They can put Wanye Morris there. That's the first try. Let Sua Mataia have another chance would be the second try. I think you can slide Juwan Taylor over as a third try, or as maybe a desperation move, maybe you can try out Joe Tooney out there. I think they have a lot of internal options still. And did Donovan Smith ever even sign anywhere? I don't think he did.
I don't think so. He's out so, there, I believe.
I mean, you've got, they have lots of options that they had. So you either believe in the player or you don't. And Chiefs do with Sua Mataia, and they do with Wanye Morris. They spent, they didn't, I mean, what was he, a third round pick? So they invested a lot in these two guys.
He's a second round pick, Sua Mataia.
So, yeah.
Is.
So, No. Wanye. Wanye.
Oh, Wanye. Yeah. Third round pick.
So you've invested a lot of draft capital in those two guys. You're let them work through it. They got Sua Mataia got dominated in that game. That happens, right? He didn't get dominated in week one. He had flashes and he had some down moments too. But yeah, you got to, I mean, look, Mahomes only threw it 25 times. Even if you take away Mahomes's carries, his four carries, they still ran the ball more than they threw the ball yesterday. They're telling us what they want to do on offense, which is not what I thought. But again, we thought they'd have a little more firepower there. I don't know if that continues. I also don't know if that's because they don't trust left tackle. Like, it's been really fascinating to watch them on offense. And of course, Mahomes is turning the ball over, which can't happen either. But they also beat the Bengals. So were you good? Were you good with the pass interference call? I know people were whining about that. It was clearly pass interference.
Absolutely pass interference. Yeah. You can't be put in a situation like that. Should have never, I mean, the Bengals should have won that game. I mean, walked away with just, you know, get away from it and bat the ball down at that point.
Survival.
But, yeah.
And at the end of the day, the Chiefs probably need that because there are going to be games that go the other way on them where it's like, oh, I'm glad we got that one. You know, like as the dust settles, I don't think anybody's going to challenge in the division, although the Chargers are Harbaughing very well, like we thought they might. So we'll keep our eye on it. The schedule is brutal for the Chiefs. We'll have a ton more. We may have more on this, by the way, in the second hour. But when we come back, we are going to get into KU. KU fans, here we go. I don't know that anybody's angrier at the Jayhawks right now than Tommy is. We'll walk through it all. We'll look ahead. We'll go through the challenges, what can be done. Here we go. Sports Daily, your calls on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240, are welcome on it. Your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, and X. We have lots of those. Of course, on 12 News Connected Plus as well. We'll come right back. KU Talk next on Sports Daily.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We're glad to be here with you. That IHOP hotline is open, 869-1240. It is brought to you by IHOP. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrecht here, Tommy Kester. All the football coverage we've had for you presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. KU football, Tommy. You were in a fury Saturday night, as most KU fans were. It was another just wildly, wildly disappointing outcome where I thought clearly KU was a better football team than the team they lost to. We've seen that 2 weeks in a row now with Illinois and UNLV. Jalen Daniels has had three not good games statistically. There, you know, how much of a concern that is, I think maybe a little that we may have different takes on that. The offensive play calling is nobody has a different take on that. It's been atrocious. You know, and for a team here that we watch now and watch the Big 12 and wonder, one thing is true, just factually speaking, is that KU's path to a playoff, if that was your outcome, if that was your desired outcome for the season, that did not change with that loss. It may not have changed anyway. KU's path is through the Big 12 and to win a Big 12 championship. That didn't change after Illinois, doesn't change after UNLV. That's still the path. What I think a lot of people now must wrestle with is, are they good enough to do that? They certainly have not played good enough offensively right now to do that through three games. They've been very stagnant, and there's a thousand reasons for it. But if you are trying to, and this is why I love the 12-team playoff, Tommy. This is that KU could be, and I'm not saying they will be, I'm just saying, you know, could be one of those teams where college football's never been able to represent. College football's never been able to represent at the end of the year a team that started slow and finished hot. Never. In the history of the sport, we've never been able to see that. That's the sort of path that still remains open for a team like KU. And by the way, there's a ton of those teams this year in college football. It has been chaotic, not just for KU, but around college football. So we may very well see one or two teams at the end that started poorly but is white hot. The question becomes, can KU do that? And, you know, there are things that if they don't fix, the obvious answer is no. What I struggle with and wrestle with is, can they still get there? And I even 2 days later, Tommy, I don't know, because I love their defense. I love their defense, and I think they're playing great on the offense. Well, not great. They did not play great on the offensive line against UNLV, but I do think they can be great on the offensive line. So I still see this path, but it's hard to imagine it because of how much they've struggled offensively, both at play calling and at quarterback.
Yeah, they've got to get that fixed and figured out. And there have been so many different things that have happened in the last couple of weeks with Kansas that are mind-numbingly frustrating. And, you know, the irony of it is we just spent a ton of time talking about the Chiefs, who I think, you know, watching the first two games from Kansas City, they weren't as good as the Ravens or the Bengals, but they won in both of those games.
I know.
Right. And then Kansas in the last two games, they've been the better team against both Illinois and UNLV and lost both of those games.
Well, like keep that college football. K-State was not better than Tulane when they beat Tulane. Right. They weren't. Yeah. They beat them.
I mean, that irony is not lost on me, you know, with the way that that has all played out. It's been a long time since I've really been able to wrap my head around a Jayhawks team being led by their defense. And that's what we see this year. I mean, for so long, it was they had a dynamic offense, but the defense was slower to be rebuilt and come along. But in the game, especially against UNLV, they really, I mean, the defense kept them in that ball game in the second half for sure. And even going into probably the second quarter, that was the highlight. That was the strength of the Jayhawks team. And so I obviously that's something that you want to lean into. That's something that if you are, you know, the Kansas coaching staff, you find a silver lining there, but you can't ignore the major red flags that have just existed and persisted to be real over the last couple of weeks. And it starts with the offensive play calling. That's where it starts for me. For other people, maybe you included, it starts with Jalen Daniels. For me, it starts with the offensive play calling, because I think that that has been, I think the word you used was atrocious. And I was going to use a similar word. It has been so absolutely terrible in the last 2 weeks. And I was even fairly optimistic in the first quarter, midway through the second quarter on Friday night, thinking, okay, well, maybe they've gotten that play calling figured out. Nope, that was not the case. I mean, they started off okay, but then, you know, as soon as the turnovers kind of started in UNLV, you know, they were able to cut the lead going into halftime. It was like the panic button was pressed offensively for Kansas in play calling. And what game plan they had put into place was completely abandoned. And we got back to what we saw by and large in the Illinois game. And it's so frustrating, so terrible. And honestly, that's where the problems begin in my mind.
So it's a combination for me. There is no question about it. The other thing, there's like this philosophical thing happening too when it comes to this game and Jalen Daniels. And I love Jalen Daniels. I think he's one of the most exciting players when he's good. I don't even want to call it right. And here's what it like. We go back, like, he doesn't look good to me at all, but he looks healthy, right? He doesn't look like he's hurt. He just looks bad. And I don't know what it is or why it's happening. He's making brutal decisions. That's one problem, which is amplified by these interceptions. But he's not, like, when Jalen Daniels is at his best, and in the very limited time we've been able to see him as a college quarterback, when he has not been hurt, the strength of his game is he's an insanely accurate passer, right? He completes upward of 70%+ of his passes. He's like barely at 50 right now, and he's missing throws at all levels. But he looks healthy, and I can't figure out what's happening. Underthrowing short routes. The one thing at least I think we saw in the UNLV game is he looked like a dynamic runner again. And sort of, you know, what we talked about with Wyatt Thompson about Avery Johnson, maybe opening him up in the run game will loosen him up to some degree. But I do think this. I think there is a tremendous amount on the line this year for KU. The schedule favorable. They're building the new facilities. This is the year. Like, it's all lined up for them. And so I think where you and I differ the most is it's like nothing has changed with where they can end this season. There is so much on the line that if Jalen Daniels is not the best quarterback, they must be willing to try something else. Is that long term? Is that short term? I don't know. And the other problem is, I don't know how good Ballard or the freshman have looked, but you can't keep running out there that kind of performance over and over again, just like you can't keep running out there that kind of play calling over and over again. And that's where you have to trust the coaches a little bit. Like, if Leipold watches practice and it's like Jalen Daniels is so far ahead of these other guys that we can't make a move like that, that's fine. I can accept that. But I don't think KU owes Jalen Daniels anything as far as like he's earned this spot or anything else. He's been hurt a lot. He's been hurt a lot. If their best opportunity is with somebody else, they have to be willing to do it if that's the case. Now, again, I'm not watching Cole Ballard or anybody else in practice, so I don't know the answer to that, and we can ask Shreyas Lada. But Jalen Daniels must be better or they will not win games.
They're not going to win games if they move away from him. I mean, and this is not nothing against Cole Ballard. I like Cole Ballard, but if you make a change, and this is the most ridiculous debate I think that I've heard surrounding Kansas in a long time, because Jalen Daniels is your quarterback. Jalen Daniels is the guy that will lead this team moving forward. I can promise you, I can guarantee you that there is not any conversation, and there hasn't been and there won't be, about Lance Leipold benching Jalen Daniels. That's just ridiculous to even like throw out there, because the bottom line is this: Jalen Daniels is the best quarterback that the Jayhawks have had since Todd Reesing, right? He's the best quarterback, the highest skill set, the best skill set, the highest ceiling, all of these attributes that he has. It's like, I think I said this to you, you and I were texting Friday night after the game. It's like waving the white flag. If you make a change, if you move away from Jalen Daniels. Now, I can admit, and I'll be the first one to say, Jalen Daniels has not been particularly good so far this year.
He's not been good at all. He's been bad.
Okay. I think bad is a stretch, because if I don't know if you watched him run the ball on Friday night, he looked dynamic running the football. Yeah. And so that was not bad. So his overall performance has not been bad. He's been bad in throwing the football. He has made some bad decisions. He has made some bad reads. But I equate this to a season ago when Jalen Daniels was hurt and Jason Bean was brought in to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. There was not another quarterback that I saw, and you and I had this conversation a lot, that was as wildly inconsistent as Jason Bean. Like, he would make some really phenomenal plays. Jalen Daniels made a couple of phenomenal plays on Friday night. But Jason Bean made some of the worst decisions and threw some of the worst balls that I had ever seen. And there was never a conversation about, well, they probably got to bench him and see what they have in Cole Ballard, because Jason Bean was their starting quarterback as soon as Jalen Daniels went down with an injury. This should be the exact same thing. Jalen Daniels is your starting quarterback, and any conversation about benching him to go to Cole Ballard, you might as well just say, well, we're not going to win the Big 12. We're not going to go to the 12-team playoff. We're not even thinking that we're going to win any games. We just need to like see what we have in Cole Ballard. Like, that's a ridiculous statement, and I hate that that's even a debate right now.
It's not. I'll tell you why I don't think it's ridiculous. One, Jason Bean had when healthy, right? He got hurt in the Tech game. When healthy, he never had a game last year as bad as what we've seen Jalen Daniels have three times now. All three of his starts are worse than any game Jason Bean played last year by quarterback rating. So take that for what that statistic is worth. So it's not the same. And the other reason I don't think it's the same is because, like, there are 80 dudes on this roster. If somebody else gives them a better chance, and again, that's where it's hard for me, because I'm not seeing the backups in practice. So if the coaches just sit there and say none of these guys are better even than the way Jalen Daniels is playing, all right, fine. But he is playing poorly enough to be benched temporarily. What did?
No, he's not.
Tommy, he has not been good. He's not been good at all this year.
Would you say the same thing if it was Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
No,
because we've
seen 8 years of Patrick Mahomes. We've never even seen three years
of Jalen Daniels.
You've seen three quarters of 1 year from Jalen Daniels.
2022, he played an entire season and was a breakout player in college football. And then we saw him in portions of other seasons. Like, there's enough equity built up in Jalen Daniels where he should be given the opportunity to work through this. Like, there shouldn't be this like quick hook of yanking him off to the side.
It's not a quick hook. We're into week four, but how is it waving the white flag if you make a change that if you're the coaching staff, you think may, and I'm not advocating for Jalen Daniels to get benched. What I'm advocating for is for KU to do anything they need to do to win games. And if that means benching,
but it doesn't mean that. I mean, Cole Ballard gives you a worse chance to win football games, in my opinion. It's not a bad, like, Cole Ballard is not a bad quarterback. He's not. We saw him in relief of Jason Bean a couple of times last season, and he was perfectly fine. You know, I know that they've got a three-star in Isaiah Mitchell, I think is his name, that is on the depth chart too, the freshman. Like, they have some decent quarterbacks, at least on the roster, but this is Jalen Daniels' team. This is Jalen Daniels' team. And to have a conversation, and look, like, I'm not just coming at you. You're not the only one. Like, it's pretty prominent throughout social media that Jalen Daniels should be benched, or that at least that conversation should be had. But Jalen Daniels has earned the opportunity to work through this. And I would also argue that it's not just on Daniels. That's the thing.
Of course it's not.
That's the thing, is that if this was 100% solely Jalen Daniels making bad decisions and throwing bad passes, okay, at that point, like, my ears are perked up and I'm like, there, something is going on here. But the coaching staff, specifically the new play caller, Jeff Grimes, has put Jalen Daniels in absolutely terrible situations, absolutely terrible opportunities. It has been abysmal through the first three games. I was at the game on Friday night at Children's Mercy, and I watched so many different plays being called that were passing plays where the wide receivers just flew down the sidelines.
No creativity.
No creativity whatsoever. By the way, when you're just running down the sideline, that's like the hardest play to be able to get separation from whoever's covering you on the defense. There was no separation from these wide receivers, and Jalen Daniels had no choice. And there were so many different times where he had to dance around in the pocket, had to improvise, had to throw on the run. The worst balls that Jalen Daniels threw was when he was flushed out of the pocket and he was forced to throw on the run. When he tucked the ball and ran, he was great. But when he was forced to throw on the run, that's when the passes were inaccurate. That's when they were off. That's when they were intercepted, by and large. There's no creativity in that offense right now. They're putting so much pressure on the back, pun intended, of Jalen Daniels to produce in an offense that has shown zero creativity, that's not helping his cause either. So, like, that needs to be figured out also. That plays into it in a large part as to why I'm not advocating for them to bench him. They need to get the entire offense figured out.
If I'm power ranking the changes that need to be made, Grimes is way ahead of Jalen Daniels right now. I think
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Here's what I think is happening. You're hearing me, and maybe others are being more aggressive with it, saying they need to do anything they can to win, and if that means, you know, benching Daniels for a short time or whatever, then everything's on the table for what's on the line this year. I'm not saying starting this next game at West Virginia, he doesn't need to be the starting quarterback. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is the worst two games of his college career, his entire college career, the worst two games that he has played have been the last two games that he has played. And the other game this season was against Lindenwood. So I'm not comfortable with what I'm seeing from a guy that we haven't seen play football in a very long time. If they need to make a change, they cannot be afraid to make that change because they feel like they owe something to Jalen Daniels. They owe something to the fan base. They owe something to everybody else on the roster to try and salvage this thing. Grimes is a much more urgent need. Much more urgent need. There's no question about that. Whether it's him ripping up what he's done and starting over or somebody else stepping in there, that is the most urgent change this team needs to make based on what we've seen. No question about that. Because at minimum, what you can do with Jalen Daniels is let him run, right? And let him do that to try and get you through these games. That's something we know
Cole Ballard doesn't have in the tank. UNLV took that away. UNLV took that away.
Right, and it became easy to stop him.
They adjusted defensively after they saw Daniels get into the end zone twice with his legs. And I think that's a major issue too. And it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about. I texted this to you after the game that when Jalen Daniels had his breakout season in 2022, I don't want to discount the play calling with Andy Kotelnicki because play calling is always important.
Familiarity.
But in 2022, when Daniels was at his height, the play calling, I don't think was quite as important because Daniels could improvise and he was able to make things happen and create offense around him, even when a design play didn't work out. Look, I'm going to admit this, and I said this before, Jalen Daniels has not been as good of a quarterback so far this year. That's plain to see. I mean, anybody can tell you that. I'll say that as well. I'll admit that. He's not the same quarterback that we saw 2 years ago or even for a portion of last season. So the play calling matters that much more. Like it's that much more important because him improvising is not working. And he's improvising because the plays that are being called are not working. They're not effective. And it's forcing Jalen Daniels' hand to try to figure out something else to do. And it's falling flat. You know, on top of it, and you know, this was something that wasn't discussed a whole lot in the aftermath, primarily because of the way that the Jayhawks lost the game, in the way that, you know, Jalen Daniels played and all of it, is that they didn't have Daniel Hyshaw. He didn't run the ball at all on Friday night. He had been dealing with some kind of sickness, some kind of illness. He didn't play. So it was really the Devin Neal show. And, you know, you could tell early on, and this was something that was talked about a lot by both Leipold and Jeff Grimes leading up to the UNLV game, that they really needed to find ways to, you know, establish the run game as best as possible. They did that early on. Devin Neal had a good start to the game. Jalen Daniels on the ground had a great start to the game. Credit Barry Odom and UNLV because they adjusted, and then there was nowhere else for the Kansas offense to go.
I mean, the defensive game planning right now is easy. You just take away the run. I think back all the time on this because, again, I still do believe Jalen Daniels is the path to the best season possible, but my confidence is wavering. And I think back to like other and these are not apples to apples comparisons, but I know that Jalen Hurts lost his job at Alabama. And I know that Baker Mayfield lost his job at Texas Tech. Now, Tua Tagovailoa and Patrick Mahomes were behind them, which contributes to that. I'm not saying I think KU has that behind him. I'm just saying coaches have to make that difficult decision all the time, and it has to at least be on the table. And Jalen Daniels needs to know it's on the table, by the way, so that he can then respond to it. But if, you know, when I talk about him as a runner, and even in 2022, Tommy, like, he never was that much of a runner. It's just in the arsenal, right? He never ran it more than 12 times in a game. He had more than 100 yards rushing one time, has one time in his college career. I don't know what were his total yards rushing in 2022, like 400, 500 or something like that. Like, he just has to have it in the tank, but he cannot become this quarterback that just is able to run all over the place. That's not what he is. What he is a guy that can run, who is a wildly, wildly accurate passer who does not make bad decisions. That's when he's at his best. That's what we saw in 22 and the limited time even in 23. What we're not seeing in 24 is an accurate passer who's making good decisions at all. Two of those interceptions are just him on bad reads. And I'll take the decision-making one step further, because Lance Leipold went out of his way last week in his press conference to talk about, in the Illinois game, those play calls that were driving everybody insane. Those were Jalen Daniels checking to those plays at the line of scrimmage. Those were RPOs. And so even when it's not an interception, he's not making the right play call. That's where the coaches have to step in and say, you don't get to do that anymore until we see you make better decisions. Run what we call. And all of it is collective, right? But I don't think when you're 1-2 in a season where you have more hype and more buzz and momentum than you've had in a generation, everything has to be on the table to fix it, especially when your path is still right in front of you. If you win the Big 12, nothing changes from where you wanted to start this season. So it all just has to be on the table. I'll leave it to Lance Leipold to decide what he has at quarterback behind Jalen Daniels. If he looks at it and he's like, these guys can't win games, then don't make the change. But at least have it all on the table. That's my point. Like, nothing is off limits right now when you're trying to salvage this season.
I'll tell you right now that, you know, they basically, in my opinion, will have everything on the table to try to turn things around, short of benching Jalen Daniels. Like, I think that Lance Leipold is 1,000% fully committed to Jalen Daniels being his quarterback. If that means that they finish the season 5-7, they finished the season 6-6. Jalen Daniels is your ride or die. He's been with
but the. That's waving the white flag. You keep using that term.
It's absolutely not, because the goal is for him to continue to work through it. His goal is to continue to have him improve and get better, which I think that he will. I think he will. I think that will happen. I read a fascinating article, and I can't wait to ask him about it on Wednesday. Shreyas Lada from the Kansas City Star, when he's on our program, he interviewed three former coaches that Jalen Daniels has had, including his personal quarterback coach, talking about what is going on with Jalen Daniels right now. All three of them spoke about how they believe that there's nothing wrong mechanically. There's nothing. They don't see anything wrong injury wise. And in fact, I think his personal quarterback coach even references the change in offensive coordinator and the continuity and how that takes some time to get going. And so all three of them expect him to work his way through this and to work out of it. I think the worst thing that the Jayhawks could do from a confidence level perspective, and Lance Leipold talked about this in postgame, I think he referred to Jalen Daniels' confidence level as fragile. I think he said it was a fragile situation. The worst possible thing that you could do is even float the idea that you're going to go to somebody else. If you think that that's going to help his confidence, I mean, that's absolutely not. I want him to know, hey, dude, JD, this is your team. Like, go out and fix it. Like, we're starting Big 12 play. Our record, as far as the Big 12 is concerned, is 0-0. So it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. Go out there, work it out, and fix it. Get it better. And then in the background, the coaching staff needs to do everything in their power to support him and to call the plays that are going to work the best for him. I'm not going to sit here and deny that he didn't make some bad decisions. There was a pass that he threw right into the chest of, I don't know if it was a linebacker or a defensive end, but right into his chest. Like, he didn't even see the guy there. There was another interception he threw where the safety was reading it the entire way and stepped in front of the pass and took it away, and Daniels never saw him. Those things are on Jalen Daniels. I'm not denying that. but he sure as hell is not getting any kind of help from the sideline.
Correct. But if you, and we'll take a break, Anthony, hang on the line. We'll get to you on the other side. Where we disagree is you think waving the white flag on the season is pulling Jalen Daniels. I think waving the white flag on the season is not being willing to do it if he continues to play like this. And I think that's where KU fans sit today and are frustrated and are annoyed. But again, 0-0 in the Big 12, you can, like, the playoff means winning the Big 12. So no, the season is not over the way people continue to say. Now, KU's obviously got to play better if they want a chance, but it's not over. Technically speaking, it's not. And this is the same team that most people thought were going to contend for it not that long ago. We'll take a quick break. 869-1240. Keep the comments coming. It's fascinating, fascinating discussion with KU through three games. We'll go take a break. Anthony, stick with us. We'll get to some phone calls on the IHOP hotline. On the way out, let's set up our text to win contest. HTO, you can get a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors. You can get a free rain coffee as well. The new fall flavors are out. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Great time to get out and golf. Great time to get out and check out the 36 holes available to you, the tennis facilities, all the new cosmetic work they've done out at Crestview. Give them a call. Check out the facilities. Tommy and I are both members out there. Our families love it. We'd get a lot of use out of that. So give them a call if you're interested. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. All right, we're talking KU football. I assumed this is where a large portion of the day would go because it is broken at the moment. Can it be fixed becomes the question. Let's go to the phone lines, the IHOP hotline. Anthony, thanks for sticking with the break there with us. What's on your mind?
Well, there's not too many guys who I'll stick to a break for, but you guys got me hooked and reeled. So
checks in the mail. Pleasure. Thanks, Anthony.
I'll be looking for it. Ready to retire. But we're talking about KU football, and this is one of the only times I really become a fan of KU sports is football season. And it's always intriguing because we've been seeing a build-up and a build-up to where we thought this would be a breakout, and right now it's not happening. I expected them to at least I expect them to get out the gates at 3-0, and you know, it's like you see a flash, but you don't see a completeness to it. And I know you mentioned that some of his former coaches said there's nothing mechanically wrong with him. But how much of it is due to, if you circle back to last year, the injury, how much of it is related to rust? And then there was also some comments. You can't help but think how much of it is also mental, because some people were saying he was basically holding out because he wanted a bigger NIL deal. I mean, there was a lot of he say, she say stuff, you know, stuff outside the lines of football. So how much does that weigh in on a player's mental psyche when you hear these things and you're being labeled like this and you're having to differentiate what's being said as opposed to concentrating on the game? I mean, where do you pinpoint it? So I just want to bring out those points and see what your take is on that. Now I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Anthony. I haven't thought about it a whole lot, all of that chatter that went into last year. I have always been of the belief that he just had a bad back and couldn't play. I don't buy most of that other stuff. I agree with Shreyas's interviewees. And again, I would lean on them far more. Like when I watch it, he doesn't look hurt. I think I sent you that, Tommy, on Saturday. Like he doesn't look hurt. He looks healthy. And so it's like all decision-making, which has been his greatest strength as a quarterback in his college career. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea why. Like and certainly nobody does, or they'd be able to fix it, but it isn't the physical part to me. It's the mental part. And he's making bad reads. He's making bad decisions. I don't know why that is. And I hope that that's fixable, and confidence would certainly do a great deal for that. But I mean, it's hard to imagine. But as far as the NIL stuff, look, every player's getting NIL. Like, I don't know that that has anything to do with anything. That's a part of the game now, and it's been a part of the game long enough that just, it doesn't matter. What was it? Was it Kleiman that was like, you know what, like that stuff, we're done with that. Now we're playing football. I mean, that's what it is now. That stuff's all already been taken care of. Like, now they're just playing football again.
I just think that, you know, Jalen Daniels deserves the opportunity to work through this, you know, because he's been with the program for so long. He has, I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago, the 2022 season, that the Jayhawks were not expected to be in the position that they were. And I think they were expected to be improved that year, but that rebuild really accelerated in 2022, largely due to Jalen Daniels. And so I think that it is extremely disrespectful to him and what he has given to this program over the last five seasons for right now, after three games, to just like talk about throwing in the towel and moving on to somebody else. Because, you know, really, and I've been a KU fan for a long time, I'm calling out fellow KU fans right now that are on that bandwagon of moving away from him. Remember where you came from. Remember who took you to the dance. Jalen Daniels took you to the dance, right? It was because
of him. Did last year, though. Like, I don't want that.
I'm talking about 2 years ago when it was really accelerated, when that rebuild was far and away quicker than anybody expected it to be. And it was because of Jalen Daniels. I mean, remember, he went into the 2023 season as the preseason Big 12 player of the year because of what he did in 2022. Like, I think that's being forgotten about. And the fact that he has earned, in my opinion, a significantly long leash. Like, there's enough equity that's been built up over time where, like, I think it's just wildly disrespectful at this point to even have this be a discussion.
I'm not sure what is making it personal to you on the, because I think it's disrespectful to not be willing to make the change, disrespectful to the fan base, disrespectful to, like, it's disrespectful to not do the best thing to win. And again, I'm not advocating for Jalen Daniels to get benched against West Virginia. I'm just saying everything's on the table.
Who's a better quarterback? Who's a better quarterback, Jalen Daniels or Cole Ballard, in your estimation right now? Who's a better quarterback? At West Virginia on Saturday, who's about?
Oh, I'd stay with Jalen Daniels right now. If Jalen Daniels comes out and plays like in that game, if he plays like against West Virginia the way he's played the last two, then it's time to see what else is there. And then you can go back to Jalen Daniels. Again, worst two games of his college career.
Sure.
Have come in his last two games. There's too much on the line.
Do you know Patrick Mahomes had the lowest passing yards, or like the second lowest passing yards, yesterday in his entire career? Yeah.
Tommy,
you know that?
Patrick Mahomes has won three Super Bowls. Jalen Daniels,
led the Jayhawks to their first bowl game in 15 years.
He was 5-4 in 2022. He was 5-4. Like, he was like, what are we?
He led the Jayhawks to their first bowl game in a decade and a half.
That's fantastic, and I love that he did that. But he has not been what you were making him out to be as a college football player.
I know I keep giving like the comparison to Patrick Mahomes, but has Patrick Mahomes been anywhere close to what
Mahomes has won three Super Bowls. Jalen Daniels has started nine games in one season.
But that's it's a ridiculous argument at this point for
Jalen
Daniels.
He has not been what you're making him out to be. He has played nine games in one season. That's what he's done in his college career.
So
nine games, and he was 5-4.
If there was a concern about Jalen Daniels, which I think that this was something that was under discussed going into the season, because it was all about his health and how healthy he is and coming back, it should have been more about the guy hasn't played a college football game in 365 days, longer than that. There's some rust that is going to be there when you have not been on the field for over a year. He's played three games. What did people expect for him to just come back out and be like, oh, he's back to normal, like back to amazing? He hadn't been on a field in over a year. And then even when he was, he only played, what, four or five games in 2023? Like, it's been a long time, three games, since we have seen Jalen Daniels have a full season, have a full complement of being able to play football. There is going to be rust. It is a common thing. He's going to have to shake it off, and I think that he will. And I think that even a discussion about going to somebody else is a ridiculous conversation to have.
Let's go to Jeff on the line on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. What's up, Jeff? Welcome into Sports Daily.
I mean, Mahomes may not have had his best games, but he's also undefeated. Jalen Daniels, he's not undefeated this year. Just throwing that out there.
So I mean, Jeff, I'd argue that the Chiefs are undefeated not because of Patrick Mahomes. They're undefeated because of, well, I mean, Harrison Butker and a pass in the back of the end zone that Isaiah likely couldn't keep his toenail in bounds.
Well, they have to score the points to get that many more than the other team, though. So, I mean, the NFL, it's a totally different game. The NFL is a totally different ball game than college football. But, and I hope that KU doesn't switch quarterbacks because then they just keep on losing. Because, I mean, if they're happy with losing, I'm happy with them losing. So keep them in there. Let's see how it goes. I mean, worst case, I would say they let him play the first half of West Virginia when he's doing what he's been doing. Yank him out. Try someone else. It doesn't hurt to try someone else. I don't know why you'd hang your hat on this guy. He hasn't proven anything the last 2 years. Proved that he could sit on the sideline last year.
It's tough. Appreciate the call, Jeff. The last part I think is where I'm at. I think Jalen Daniels is a potentially fascinating story. But he's, you know, in this 22 season that I look at, too, he was 5-4 as a starter. He lost his last four games of that season. So it's just like, to me, waving the white flag is not being willing to do whatever it takes to win games. If you're content with letting Jalen Daniels work through it at the cost of this season, that's fine. I don't think 90% of KU fans agree with you on that. This season is not over.
I think that there's more than 10% that agree with me on this. I think I would know that more than probably you do.
I mean,
this is the stupidest conversation that I think we've probably ever had, as opposed to trying to fix what's actually wrong with the offense and talk about the real issues going on with the Jayhawks offense. It's pull the plug on Jalen Daniels. He showed you nothing. That is absolute bullcrap.
I have not said that one time.
Conversation we've ever had on this show.
You're insane. You're being a crazy person. Why are you so angry to think that maybe they should try something else when they're 1-2 and it looks so broken?
Jalen Daniels is their damn quarterback. He is their quarterback. And to waste time having this conversation doesn't actually get to the root of the issue with the Jayhawks offense. That's what makes me so angry about this.
Okay. All right. 869-1240. There it is for you. You guys can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We'll come back. We got to hit on the Royals as well today. They do not play. We'll get to the Royals. Big weekend. We'll tell you where things stand in the standings. They play and begin a big series against Detroit right now. And in a lot of ways, you could put the postseason right now on this series if they're able to have a big series in a positive way. We'll talk about that next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, all Brockton Caster here. I just saw my favorite stat of the day. The Panthers, Tommy, have not led any game since December 17th of last year. Totally unrelated, except for the fact that we will not have time to get to the wackiness and wildness of the NFL. We'll do that tomorrow.
By the way, sorry about the Cowboys really quick. I know that was a rough day.
I don't know what all day yesterday was in the NFL. It's a bloodbath for bettors is what it was. But the underdogs were like 12-4. All right, real quick, the Royals begin their series with the Tigers. It is a 3-game set in Kansas City. The Royals are 5 games up on them right now in the wild card. They can close that gap with that particular team with an outstanding series here. They need to at least take 2 or 3, I would say, Tommy. The series against Pittsburgh was fine. Catching Cleveland's going to be tough, but remember, 4 games back now as we come down this final stretch, Cleveland's stretch on the schedule is more difficult. So it is, as we're all, you know, like neck deep now in football, this Royals race over the next 2 weeks or so is going to be really, really compelling stuff.
Yeah, you would have loved to see a sweep in Pittsburgh, and they, you know, they were pretty close to making that happen yesterday. But you know, 2 out of 3 on the road, you'll take that. You know, being able to get back home and take on a Tigers team that has underachieved and underperformed this year, but you know, still battling at this point. You know, I think that that makes this series relatively crucial. And of course, as you go through this week, we know, and Paul and I discussed this on Thursday, I think, when he was in, that we know the Royals have one of the best, if not the best, record at home in Major League Baseball. This is your final stretch of home games on the season before you finish up with 2 on the road in Washington and Atlanta. So you got to take advantage of these games with Detroit and then with San Francisco this weekend at Kauffman. And you know what? I think that I'll actually be at the game on Saturday against San Francisco, and I'm really excited about it because I think that there's going to be this palpable feeling from the crowd throughout the entire week, starting with, you know, the games against Detroit, that it's not going to be the last time we see the Royals in Kauffman this season, even once they finish these series. So you got to start that off strong against Detroit. Take care of your divisional opponent there. It's unlikely that they can catch Cleveland, but you never know.
Yeah, and we'll get into those magic number conversations as by Saturday we may have one right in front of us. There's a programming note on that game for tonight as it pertains to listening to it on your home of Royals baseball. We'll have that for you. It is a busy night across our networks. We'll tell you all about it, where you can find what you're looking for as we wrap up a wild Monday edition of Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.